This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Europe prepares to unleash another round of sanctions on Moscow after it illegally annexed four regions in Ukraine. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. European leaders have reached a political agreement for an eighth round of sanctions against Russia this morning. Details of the package are still emerging, but here's what we know at this point. It will prohibit Russian oil traveling by sea to countries where Moscow has tried to sell it above an earlier agreed oil price cap. The new package will also extend an import ban on goods including steel, wood, pulp, paper, chemicals, and machinery, as well as a ban on IT, engineering, and legal services to Russian entities. In a tweet, President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, welcomed the announcement and said the bloc is determined to continue making the Kremlin pay. Here she is speaking ahead of that announcement.
Now it's the time to keep track, to help the Ukrainians to face down the invader. A strong and steadfast Europe, that will only be the only way to stop Putin. This is the moment to stay the course and to signal again to our Ukrainian friends, we stay by your side as long as it takes.
Ms. von der Leyen also advocated for a temporary price cap on natural gas as Europe looks to continue reducing its reliance on Russian supplies. Since the start of the war in February, its reliance has shrunk by 10%. Ms. von der Leyen will take a range of proposals to an EU summit in Prague on Thursday. Checking the numbers now, it's a mixed picture across global stock markets. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rallied more than 5% today as hopes continue to grow that global central banks will temper their hawkish rate rise plans. Here in Europe, though, the mood is more sanguine after having rallied more than 5% in the last three sessions. The Stoxx 600 index is down about 0.7% today. Meanwhile, global oil prices are slightly lower on the session. Brent crude is hovering near $91 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate is trading at $86. That is ahead of a highly anticipated OPEC meeting today that's expected to end with an agreement to slash production. The BBC's Samir Hashmi explains the cut could be the biggest since 2020, when the pandemic drastically reduced global oil demand.
There's definitely going to be a cut. Prices have actually come down over the last few months, and there's a concern within OPEC Plus that demand is weakening and they need to cut back on supplies to stabilize the markets. The number could be anywhere between 1 million barrels a day to even talks of 2 million barrels a day. But I think, Victoria, what's important to note here is that most of the countries in OPEC Plus, the member countries, are struggling to meet their current targets, which means essentially what OPEC Plus is saying they're producing is actually not the reality. They are producing much lesser than that. So it will not have any impact on the ground. However, definitely it will have an impact on markets because it's a message that will go out from the meeting.
So why are countries having issues meeting their production targets as is?
I'll have to take you back to March 2020, the start of the pandemic. At that point of time, because suddenly there was a global lockdown, OPEC decided to cut down production significantly. The big oil producers like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Kuwait, they didn't have problems in ramping up production when demand went up. But many of the other countries, for example, Nigeria, countries like these have actually struggled to increase their production when demand went up because it requires finances, it requires investments, it requires manpower. And a lot of countries haven't been able to garner those kind of resources. And that's why they continue to struggle till date.
The BBC's Samir Hashmi for us. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thanks a lot.
To India now, where extreme and unpredictable weather patterns have destroyed cotton crops across the country. It's the world's leading exporter of cotton, but it now has to import the commodity, which is making the local cotton textile industry uncompetitive. The BBC's Archana Shukla has more on that story.
Farmer Raju Giotore is wading through the sludge in his fields. Some of the crops here have survived the rains, and Raju is spraying pesticides in his struggle to save whatever there is. He tells me the crop is not growing, and the pesticide is also getting washed away by rains. The cotton yield this year will be less than 50%. We won't even recover our costs, he says. I've been talking to cotton farmers like Muralidhar Bhuyarkar about their crop. Monsoon has been erratic in the last 1 month, and that has meant even healthy cotton crop have also been destroyed. Muralidhar says it is the third year of crop loss owing to unseasonal rainfall. This devastation has trickled down to industries that convert cotton to yarn, a starting material for textile industries. Many spinning mills have been forced to stop production or scale down.
I am not able to recover the price.
Selva Kumar runs a spinning mill in the southern Indian city of Coimbatore that is home to thousands of small and medium spinning mills. He has reduced his unit's production to just one third.
There is no market for yarn at present due to high price of raw material.
Some others have had to re-strategize business. A few streets away, Vijay Popat, a second-generation mill owner, has shifted to man-made fibers like polyester. Vijay Popat tells me that prices of polyester are more predictable. We've spent money in transitioning the unit to polyester and we are not going back to cotton, he says. India is the world's second largest producer and exporter of cotton and employs nearly 35 million in the cotton value chain. But recurring droughts and floods are leaving all of those people to the mercy of unpredictable weather. Back in the farms, more farmers have sown cotton this year versus last, lured by the high prices. But they can only reap the benefits in the winter harvests if it stops raining. This is the BBC's Archana Shukla for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.